going to be a not a long lecture today. Sorry?
Could you hit one of the lights?
Yeah, I will. That better?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. All right, so quick recap. This wasn't on the exam, so I just want to recap where we are. So we were talking about paging last time. And paging is a technique whereby you take the address space of a process and divide it into fixed size chunks. You assume that physical RAM is also divided into fixed size frames and pages are assigned to frames. The most important thing to keep in mind is that pages don't need to be assigned sequentially to frames. In other words, the address space of the process doesn't need to be contiguous. Okay, pages can be mapped anywhere and you have this page table that keeps a mapping from pages to frames. Okay, this allows you to get rid of external fragmentation. Okay, that's the main thing to keep in mind. And you need some hardware support to maintain page tables. And we looked at this notion of a translation look-aside buffer, which is basically a cache. Okay, the page table is stored in memory. The recently used entries of the page table are stored in the TLB to enable fast translation, okay, of virtual to physical addresses at runtime. Okay. Virtual addresses are two components, the page number and offset within the page. You take the page number, you index the page table. This is an array. You find the frame number and you substitute it here, and this gives you the physical address. Okay. That tells you which frame and which offset within that frame is this instruction trying to access. Okay. Yes, question there.
Did you say the maximum size of the page table was 2048?
Maximum size of a page table is 2048. No, I didn't. So there was an example we did. In the context of that example, there was something we mentioned. But there is no such limit in any operating system.
So you can have, the quickest page table, there's no maximum size.
For the TLB, you mean to say the translation look-aside buffer. So I did say that the TLB sizes can vary from 2 to 2048. But that doesn't limit the size of the page table. TLB is only storing a subset of the page table. It's a cache.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have a page table that's very large. Some of those entries are stored in the TLB.
I meant the TLB. What is the reason why it's only 2048?
Well, it's like a register. So it's expensive memory. Mm-hmm. Just as you cannot just put on thousands and thousands of registers because it increases the cost of hardware. The same thing. Any fast memory is more expensive than RAM. So you have to place a limit. You can't have arbitrarily large caches.
That's what you did, a very expensive processor could be greater.
It could be great. No, there's not a hard limit. There is nothing that says it cannot be 2049, for example. I've just given typical ranges that you find in actual processors, but you can put as much as you want. It depends on what you're willing to spend. No question.
As far as permissions to modify a page table, are the page tables for individual processes stored in the kernel address space, like outside of PCBs of non-kernel processes?
They are stored in the kernel address space,
okay.
And you need to be in kernel mode to modify it.
So process can't even modify it?
Process cannot modify its page table, neither can it access its page table.
Okay.
For protection reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where we were last time. Okay, so today we will talk about yet another technique. Okay, this one is called segmentation. Okay, it looks similar to pages, but there are some important differences. Okay, so think of segments as the user's or compiler's view of the program. Okay, if you think about what we have done so far, which is paging, essentially we said this is the address space of a process is a linear array of bytes. Okay, and then you just chop it up into fixed size chunks called pages and you map pages to frames. Okay? There was no structure we imposed on what the process looks like, what it contains. Okay, we just said it's a blob of memory that you just chop it up into smaller chunks. Okay? But in reality, a process does have structure. Okay? The process address space contains code, it contains global variables, it contains a heap, it contains a stack, it may contain shared memory, contains synchronization variables and so on. Okay, so in reality what that means is the process doesn't really look like this. What it looks like is a collection of segments. So you may have some code, you may have the stack in a chunk of memory, the heap, and you may have a data segment that stores global variables and so on. Okay? So that's a compiler and a user's view of a process. Okay, that's what this idea is. So the user views the program as logical segments containing code, global variables, stack, heap, and so on. Okay? And the way compiler generates addresses is basically it indexes a segment and an offset within the segment. So if you are, for instance, you are trying to access a variable on the heap, okay, and this is the assembly code generated by the compiler will say go to the heap segment and access this offset D. Okay? That's where I have stored my variable. Okay, or go to the stack segment and offset and access the bottom of the stack or the top of the stack. Yeah, or some offset within that stack. This is how the compiler will generate addresses, because this is how it views the memory of that process. Okay. Now this looks very different from the way we have been talking about how to map a process into memory, which was just a collection of pages. There was no meaning assigned to these pages. Okay. So in some sense, the stack could be anywhere, the code could be anywhere, and code segment could be anywhere. We didn't really assign any structure there. But this is what the process looks like. Okay. So now the question is, how do we design a memory management scheme if the process actually looks like this but not like that? Okay, that's what we are going to talk about, and that scheme is referred to as segmentation. Okay. So compiler, we'll assume now that the compiler generates assembly code that indexes a segment and an offset within the segment to access any memory for this process. Okay. So we'll say quote the code segment with this offset and execute that instruction. If you have a for loop, for example, you could do something like this. Okay. So virtual addresses consists of two components, a segment number and an offset within the segment. Okay, now there is a statement here saying segments make it easier for the call and the heap to grow dynamically and independently. Okay. This should be clear because the code segment typically doesn't change. Okay, for a process, the compiler has generated the code. While the process is executing, this part is not going to change. Okay. But the stack may keep growing or shrink as you call more methods, okay, recursively, and you return from this method. The heap may also keep growing or shrinking as you allocate more memory and you deallocate memory. Okay. And it should be clear that these can grow independently of other segments. Okay. As the stack keeps growing, you can increase the size of this segment, okay, extend it or shrink it. Okay. Same is true of the heap. And it turns out, and we'll come back to this, segments also make it easier to do sharing and protection, okay, more granular sharing and protection, and we'll come back to that, not discuss why at this point. Okay. So this is how you would now generate virtual addresses and translate them to physical addresses. Okay. So rather than in the paging scheme, remember we had a page number and an offset. Here we will have a segment number and an offset. So each of these segments would be numbered. Okay. So you have a code segment, let's say this is segment 0, this is S1, S2, S3, and so on. Okay. So to access any part of your process, you have to first say which segment you want to access and where in that segment you want to access memory. Okay. So the segment number and an offset allows you to specify a virtual address for this process. Okay. And the segments will be mapped into main memory. Okay, so you have to translate that to a physical address, and that is what this is showing. Okay. So for every segment, depending on where you have loaded it in memory, you will have a base address that is actually shown here. Okay. This data structure is referred to as a segment table. Just as you have a page table, this is a segment table. So for each segment, you have two entries here, the base and the limit. Okay. So it basically says the segment is loaded at this address, and this is the size of that segment. Each segment can be of different size. Okay. So the segment table basically has the start address of each segment, which is called the base, and the size. Okay. So again, each segment can be stored at an independent location in memory, and the segments themselves don't have to be contiguous. Okay. So for each segment, you have to store in this table saying the S0 starts at 0x1000, some address. And then let's say it's 4 kilobytes in size, so you will put 4096 as the limit. Okay, so that's the size of the segment. And so you will do the same thing for the stack and the heap and so on. So when you generate a segment number, you have to first look at where the segment begins by looking up the base value for that segment. Okay. And then you add that to the offset. Okay. That is what is being done here. Okay. You take the base, you take the offset, and that gives you the physical address. Okay. You also need to do checks to ensure that the addressing does not exceed the size of the segment, and that is what this limit register is doing. This is for doing protection. Okay. So you take the limit value and you make sure that the offset cannot exceed the size of the segment. Okay. Otherwise, you will access regions of memory that go beyond the segment. Okay. So if you do that, you get what is called a segmentation fault. Okay. When you get a segmentation fault in your code, you're essentially trying to access a region of memory that goes beyond the segment that's been allocated for your process. Okay. So that basically triggers a trap, and this trap is called a segmentation fault, which causes a cool down of your process. Okay. Yes, question.
Where is it that you get the offset from?
Where do you get the offset?
How does it know what the offset is?
This thing?
Yeah.
So the compiler is generating code, right? So this is generated by the compiler. So these are in the instructions for assembly instructions already. Okay, so you written, let's say, you write a function foo, you declare an int I, and then you say I equals 1. Okay. And the compiler is generating assembly code. It will say, this is a local variable, so I'm going to put it on the stack. Okay. So it has kept track of what the stack looks like and so on. Okay, so what it will do when you do I equals 1, it will basically say go to the stack segment and this is where I have allocated memory for that variable. Okay, and it will generate in this case the stack is S1, so it will generate 1 and some offset, which is where it actually stored I. This is what the compiler has to do. It has to generate assembly code and allocate variables to regions of memory and keep track of what they are, and the assembly instructions generate addresses that look up that variable. Okay, so that's where the address is coming from. So if you did this, or let's say you did I plus 1, so you would have an add instruction. Okay, that will look up the value of wherever I is in memory and add 1, and this is basically this address that will be generated there. Okay, and it will be put in the assembly instruction. So when you execute the assembly instruction, you will have to first go and access that region of memory that generates an address. And that is something that you need to translate to a physical address in order to execute the instruction. Okay? So all these addresses are coming from assembly instructions that are being executed by the CPU. Okay? And the addresses themselves have been generated by the compiler. Virtual addresses, not physical. Is this clear? What is the segment table and how does it work? Any questions on this? Yes.
Can the register case limit be allocated on the, or does it always have to be like in registers? I know like there's special operating system registers that only the kernel can play with, at least on x86. Is that what some of them are used for?
So we'll talk about where you can store these. Okay, just as last time I talked about where to store the page tables, but typically you would store them in memory. Just as you store the page tables. Okay. The choices are you store them in registers or you store them in memory. If you have a small number of segments. Okay. Now, unlike pages, if you have a large process, you may have a very large number of pages. But you will not have typically more than a dozen or so segments. The number of segments in a process is much smaller than the number of pages you could have, because there are only so many different segments you could have. Okay. Every process is going to have a code segment. It may have linked to some libraries. So you have these library segments, one for each library. Okay? And then your stack, heap and so on. So you have a fairly small number. So you can afford to keep them in registers. Okay? But you don't have to. If the number of segments is greater, you can store it in memory and use a cache. Okay, but we'll come back to that. Okay, it's coming to a future slide. Okay. So how do you implement this? Compiler needs to generate the virtual address. Okay, and so I already mentioned that the address, well, I showed you in the previous slide here, the address has two parts. Okay, the upper, the high order bits give you the segment number and the low order bits give you the offset. Okay, exactly the way you had the page number and an offset. Okay, the same thing is true for a segment number and an offset. Okay, now let's come to the more interesting part of how, when you start a new process, do you map this to regions of memory. Okay. Each segment is of arbitrary size. Okay. So the simplest thing you could do is to allocate a contiguous chunk of memory for each segment. Okay. So when you start up a process, you allocate, the code segment is known, that's the number of assembly instructions you generated. Okay. There will also be some information in there saying allocate a stack segment of this size, allocate a default heap segment of this size, and here is the data segment, and maybe there are some more. Okay. So what you do is you can take your memory and do exactly what you did for dynamic or static relocation. Each is assigned to a contiguous chunk of memory. This is your S0. Okay. Here is your stack. And the heap could go somewhere else, and so on. Okay. The segments themselves don't need to be contiguous. Okay, we don't care, because all you need, meaning rather, two segments don't need to be adjacent. Okay, each segment is stored contiguously, but two segments don't need to be adjacent, because for each segment you have stored the base, and then this is the limit. So each can start at a different location, okay, and doesn't have to be adjacent to one another. Yes.
Isn't that going to get us back to the same problem of the internal fragmentation?
Yes. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Yes, exactly. So this is the simplest mapping of segments to memory, which is you store each segment at a contiguous memory location, but segments themselves don't have to be adjacent. Okay. So that means that the process is chopped up into smaller pieces, but each piece is adjacent, and each piece can be a variable size. Okay, so as segment processes come and go, you are going to have the same problem where you will have holes in memory and you will have external fragmentation. Okay? So if you do this, then you will be back to the same problem you had when the entire process was stored contiguously. Okay, now your process has been chopped up into smaller pieces, but each of them is being stored contiguously, and you again have the same problem of external fragmentation. Okay, so what can you do about this? Yes.
You can make all those segments the same size.
Okay, you can make segments, all segments are of the same size.
But they have to be arbitrary.
Yes. So if you do that, then you could, then you don't have external fragmentation. Okay, clearly, but you may waste memory. You will have internal fragmentation. Right? Because you say all segments are 1 megabyte in size. I need a heap that is only 10 kilobytes. Yes, in 1 megabyte, and I waste the rest. But you don't get external fragmentation, you get internal fragmentation. Problem has just not gone away, just moved it from external to internal.
But isn't internal much less than external? Because you could just fill up, each process will fill up all the shares until the final one, right?
No. So in this case, each one is getting whatever chunk you have assigned, right? This is the scheme that was proposed as each segment is given a certain amount of memory, and you can only have segments of that fixed size. So we'll say all segments are 1 megabyte in size.
But if you load a process over many segments, then there's like one segment which is not completely built, right?
No, every segment may have. So this code segment may be, let's say, 995 kilobytes, something like. But you can assign it 1 megabyte, 1024 kilobytes. So you will have wasted something here. Okay? Stack segment may need 512 kilobytes. You assign it 1 megabyte, so you wasted half of that chunk. So you have internal fragmentation per segment. You see what I'm saying?
I think I might be just thinking of how it is being done
with paging. Yes, so we'll come back to paging in just 1 second. Okay? So you could, of course, do that, and not a bad solution, but you have internal fragmentation, so it's not gone completely. Okay. So what other technique do we know that allows you to assign variable amounts of memory efficiently in RAM? Sorry? What, somebody said something? How would you assign variable amounts of memory and yet not have fragmentation, external fragmentation? You page the segments, right? So, yeah. So you just need to speak loudly. So, if you have segments of arbitrary size, why not chop each segment into fixed size pages and do exactly what we did in the first case, right? So now you get the best of both worlds. From a compiler's point of view, a process isn't just one blob that is unstructured. It is a collection of segments. Each segment has a meaning. It either has code or it has data, it's a heap or a stack and so on. So the compiler is happy in the sense it knows it has a particular view and you are actually using that view to generate code. Okay? And the operating system is also happy because you didn't waste any memory. It didn't have to deal with all this external fragmentation because you paged the segment. Okay? So that's basically what is said here. It's in bold. Why not combine? So combine. You basically combine segmentation and paging. Okay, so each segment will now look like, think of whatever you did for the whole process, you do for a segment. A segment is like a process now. So you have a page table for each segment. Okay, and so each segment is chopped up into fixed size pages, and these pages can be mapped anywhere in memory. Okay, so this is no longer the picture. Physical RAM just looks like a collection of frames. Okay, and each of this is now mapped to arbitrary frames. Okay, and you will now, it's just as you had a page table per process, in this case you have a page table per segment. Okay, each segment needs to have its own page table. Yes, question there.
If the segments are still like a certain size each, don't you get pages that are empty? How does it know that those aren't being used and not necessary?
So I'm not following the question. If pages are of a certain size?
If the segments are all there, they still all have that extra space. It's just a page, right?
What do you mean, extra space?
Space that's not used.
Okay, so let's take an example so we can make it clear. So this is the code segment. Okay, this is all used. This is code that you have generated. So there is no wastage here. So this could be of arbitrary size. It depends on how large your program is. You write larger program, you get a larger code segment. Okay. So these are all your assembly instructions. Okay. So this is, then you just chop it up into pages. Okay. And you have page table and you map this to memory. Okay. Now maybe the question you are asking is more relevant for something like the stack. Okay. Now the stack is a segment, but when you start the process, not all of the stack is in use. So you may have allocated a certain region, but not, it's not all in use. So you could dynamically add memory as the stack grows. Okay? So you have a page table, but many entries are just empty. Okay? So when you call main, you just allocate the stack for main. Okay? And then you chop up this, let's say this is two pages. So you will just allocate two entries here. Okay? Then main may call foo, so stack grows down. So you add a new stack, so then you allocate more memory and then you have more page table entries and you create frames. So that's how you will dynamically allocate. And as if foo returns back to main, then you will deallocate this part of the stack and you will empty those frames and you will just delete those entries in the page table. So you can have segments grow and shrink in this fashion. Okay, yes.
So now is it that we have to translate the segment page and then page to physical memory?
Yes, exactly. So we will have now three levels of translation, right? You will have to go from the segment and then to page and page to physical memory, and we'll look at that exactly in the next slide. Okay, but there's one more point I wanted to make. The reason this works for us well is because segments are typically larger than pages. Okay? Typically segments will be in megabytes. Okay? Pages will be in kilobytes. So it's okay to segment or rather page the segment. Okay? You will still have some internal fragmentation. Okay, but external fragmentation goes away. Okay. So now how do you do the, so here is an example. Okay, so these are, this is the view of your process. There is a code segment, this is your code, that is the heap, that is the stack, some shared library, some local data, some constants, and you don't, probably cannot see that there are dotted lines here, that's chopping up each segment into pages, and pages are mapped into frames. Okay. You don't need the segments to be contiguous, you don't need the pages to be contiguous, you just need to maintain the mapping. So for each segment, you have a page table that tells you where are the pages of that segment stored in physical memory. Okay, and that's this. Okay. So that's now the question that you just asked. So a virtual address becomes three components, a segment number, a page within the segment, and an offset within the page. Okay. So the previous simple segmentation was S, D. Okay. It just said this is segment number and that's the offset within the segment. Now you page the segment, so what you have to actually generate is which segment am I talking about? Okay, suppose it's the code segment. Which page is it? Okay, so you specify the page number and then which offset within the page. Okay, so if you want to access this memory region, you have to first access this segment and then say this is the fourth page and then that's some offset within the page. Okay, yes.
And all this information can be stored within one register?
No. We'll come to that. This is what it looks like. But
no,
it is. It's multiple levels of translation. So we'll look at, now there's a lot of flexibility, but also it increases the complexity of translating from virtual to physical addresses, okay, which we will talk about. Okay. So what are the data structures you need to maintain? Okay. Clearly, you still need your segment table. Okay. So you have a segment table. It tells you what are all the segments, and then you have a page table. Okay. Let's see this. This is RAM. Let's look at, so that's the physical memory. And this is your logical view of the process. This is your code segment. It's a heap stack. This is what how the compiler and users view the process. That's how the process will actually be mapped to memory. Okay? And these are the data structures. So, what should the segment table keep? What information do we want to keep there? In segmentation, pure segmentation, we just kept the base and limit registers. Okay, this was what we maintained there. Okay. Don't know if you have the page. So this is what the, if you just have paging, okay, this is what the picture looked like. You had page tables for each page. You had an entry that told you where that page was in memory. Okay. This is what the picture looks like for segmentation. For each segment, you had a start address for the segment. You took the start address. You added the offset that gave you the physical address. You did some error checks to make sure the addresses were valid. That's what the limit part of it did. Okay. Now, so this is your segment table, that data structure there. If you are just paging, that's your page table. Okay. Now, we have both. Okay, so, question is, what information are we going to keep in each?
So, the segment table, you need the segment and the page offset.
Right. So, let's suppose you have an entry for the code segment here. What is this going to keep for us? It will have a base and a limit. Okay. But this is not pointing to a region of memory. Okay, because in the previous case, this told you where the entire segment was stored. Now the segment is paged. So this is actually pointing to the page table for the segment. So this is telling you where in memory is your page table stored. So there is a two-way lookup. You have a page table for each segment. So this is the page table for the code segment. Okay, code segment page table. So you have a heap page table and you have a stack page table and so on. Okay. In pure paging, you just had one giant page table for the whole process. Now you have lots of smaller page tables, one for each segment. Okay. So two-way lookup. If you want to access some address in the heap segment, you first go and say, where is the page table for the heap segment? Okay, that you just do a segment table lookup. That will provide you a pointer to the heap segment, which is here. And then you want to now, this just looks like a normal page table. So you'll say, I want the fifth page in the heap. And where is that stored? Okay, that will have a pointer there, meaning that will have a frame number. And then you look up, this is a page. Then you look up an offset within the page. Okay, yes, question.
What is it between the segment table and the page table that actually tells you which page you're going to view?
Okay, so here is what your.
So you input a base address for the start.
No, this is now no longer pointing to the start of the segment. It's starting telling you where is the page table in memory.
Oh, that the base is what points you to this.
Page table, yes. Not the page itself, the page table.
So what information are you given, or where is the information given that tells you which page to go to within the page table?
That's in the page table. So two-way lookup, right? So here is what the virtual address looks like. I want, let's say, segment 0, the 5th page in the segment, and the 10th byte. Okay? So first I need to know where is the page table. Okay? Because there are, for each segment I have different page table. So I'll look up, so let's call this 2, 5, 10. Okay? So this 2, you have to go and take and look at this. This is 0, 1, 2. So you look up this entry. This has a pointer to the page table. Okay? So then you have figured out where the page table is. Now you just look at this part, 5 comma 10. This is exactly what you do in paging. So you look up the 5th entry in the page table. Let's suppose that this is the page table. You look up the 5th entry. That points you to a frame in memory. And then that's the 10th byte in that frame. Okay?
So,
yes.
So when you wrote down the base limit is one number.
No. So this is basically a limit on the number of pages in the page table. So you again do the check to make sure you are not accessing a page that exceeds the size of the segment. So you are doing a check on the size of the page table, not on the segment itself. Okay.
So the basic variable that's shared between the two of them is, because there's only three variables and there's four things, where access to the page is shared between the segment table and the page table, right?
A page is shared between the segment?
Well, so you have two, and then that two is the base. And then the 5 is the limit, right?
Yes.
And then...
This is checked against the limit.
Checked against the limit.
Yes.
And then the page again is...
It's again used to access the page table. Yes. So that's what this picture shows here. It looks a little more complicated, but that's exactly what I drew there. So the virtual address is three parts. It has a segment number, a page number, and an offset. You take the segment number and you look up that entry here. That is pointing to the page table. Okay? And then you take the P and you compare it. As you can see, there are two arrows here. You compare this against the limit and say, am I trying to access entry in the page table that doesn't exist? Okay, or exceeds the size of the page table. Okay, that will again give you a segmentation fault if you do that. Okay, that's the top. So assume that the addressing is valid. So in that case, you just take the page table. Okay, and you look up the Pth entry in the page table that gives you a frame, and then that D is the offset within the frame. Okay, so multiple levels of lookup. Yes, question.
Don't you need another limit in the page table to check that it's not in the frame?
You can check the offset, but the offset, if you have a fixed number of bits, you cannot generate an offset that's greater than the size, right? Because if you say I only have 8 bytes in a page, I only store 3 bits, so I cannot address anything that's greater than 8. Yes.
Now,
That thing, SPD?
Yeah, the SPD. Is that able to be stored in one, 32-bit register?
Yeah. So we'll come to an example. Yes, exactly. So what you will actually do is you will generate a 32-bit address, and then again this will be chopped up into pieces. Some bits will tell you what the segment is, and some bits will tell you what the page is, and some bits will tell you what the offset is. Okay? Any other questions here? Okay. So quick example. Okay, so let's assume that the memory size is 256 words. Okay. Page table is indexing 8 pages. Okay. Each page is 32 words and there are 8 segments within the process. Okay? Is this clear? So how many bits do you need for the physical address? So for that, physical address has to address memory. Okay, the memory can go from 0 to 255. 8 bits. Is this clear? 2 to the power 8. 255. Because you need to generate, to address physical memory, you need to be able to address any location from 0 to 255. So this is the range of your physical addresses. to generate numbers that go from 0 to 255, you need 8 bits. Okay? So physical addresses are 8 bits. Okay? How many bits do you need for the virtual address? Okay? So to do this, you need to... Yes, you have something to say. Okay, 11. Let's add. So to know how many bits you need, you have to basically figure out how many bits do you need for the segment, pages, and D. Okay? How many segments can you have? 8. How many bits do you need to have 8 address 0 through 7? 3 bits. Okay? This is 3 bits. How many pages can you have? You're indexing 8 pages. Another 3, right? Because you can go from page 0 to page 7. Okay? And how many, what can the offset be? Okay? You have 32, so offset has to go from 0 to 31, so 5 bits. It's 11, as was pointed out. Okay? So physical addresses, 255, virtual address, meaning 8-bit addresses, but virtual addresses are 11 bits. Okay, so long as you generate an 11-bit address, the compiler has to generate 11-bit addresses. The three most significant bits tell you which segment is it referring to. The next three bits tell you which page is it referring to within the segment. And the last 5 bits tell you which offset it's referring to. Okay, and that gives you the S, P, and the D. Yes, question.
Address always going to be bigger than the given memory
size? So virtual address going to be always bigger than the... Typically the answer is yes. And the reason for this is something we haven't studied as of today. Typically you allow the process to exceed the size of RAM. Yeah, operating systems don't limit the size of your process to be the size of RAM. This process can be 10 times bigger than the size of RAM. So you need to be able to address memory, the virtual memory that's bigger than the size of physical RAM. As a result, the virtual address tend to be bigger. Okay? Okay, so how many bits? We already said 11, and then we said 3, 3, 5 for the next question. How many segment table entries do we need? We already did this. There are 8 logical segments. How many page table entries? We also did that. You need 3 bits, and that gives you 8 page table entries. Okay, yes, question.
If it can address a process greater than the size of the full RAM, would it be also possible for the virtual address to be greater than, say, if you had a 32-bit processor, would it be possible that the virtual address is stored on more than one register? Or
you may have to do that.
Yes.
Depends on how you design your operating system. I mean, there's an operating system limitation, not the hardware limitation. If the operating system says this process has to fit in RAM, it will generate virtual addresses that are the same size as physical addresses. Okay, or if it doesn't put any restriction, you can have something that's bigger, for example. Typically, it is bigger. Okay, so now let's come back to the sharing question. Okay, so we said sharing is very easy in segmentation and segmented paging. Okay? And sharing can be very granular. You can share entire segments or you can share particular pages within a segment. Okay? So suppose that you have a lot of clutter here. Okay, maybe I shouldn't erase this. Okay, so this is our segment table, this is the page table. Okay, so let's talk about first sharing entire segments, and then we'll talk about sharing pages within a segment. Okay, so why would you want to share entire segments across processes? Global variables, shared variable, yes, shared memory. That's what you're saying. So you may have shared memory that requires you to share an entire. So you may declare a shared memory segment. Share it across processes. That's definitely true. What else? Why else might you want to share segments?
You can only
You only have one copy of the code in memory.
You probably want to do that, not that you restrict it. So, libraries are a good reason. Okay? There are lots of processes running. They may all be linked to the pthread library, for example. So you may start two processes, both are linked to the pthread library. One thing you could do is take the pthread library and load it twice in memory. Okay? It's the exact same code. Okay? You're, it's loaded twice in memory, is wasted of memory. Instead, what you could do is what was just mentioned, you load this library once. Okay? And then, so let's say this is the pthread, lib pthread that you link. Okay? And then you basically, every process that needs it, you just put an entry in the segment table that just points to the page table for this segment. Okay? And you're done at this point. Okay? Yes, question.
So when you start a process, it will then first check to see if the pthreads had already been loading, and then if not, then loaded?
Yes, exactly. So there's something, because when you start a process, there's something called a loader and a linker. These are the programs that are actually loading and loading your process into program into memory and linking it to the library. So these things actually check what are all the libraries, are they already in memory? If so, then you just add an entry that already points to the page table for it. For example. Okay, so you have two processes, each has their segment tables, and both the segment table basically share the same page table. Okay, and you're done. So you basically avoided the need to load multiple copies of pthread. And if you had the shared memory, as was pointed out, you also do the same thing. Okay, you declare the shared memory region. Okay, this becomes a segment, it has its own page table. And then any process that needs to share the shared memory, you just put an entry in the segment table, to the page table, and you're done. Okay? So this allows you to share at the segment level. Okay? Now you may want to do more granular sharing, which is, I don't need to share an entire segment, but I need to share a page. Okay? Or maybe three pages across two processes. Okay? Why might you want to do that? Okay, the answer again is synchronization and shared memory. Okay? So let's suppose you have a semaphore, okay, that you want to share. Okay? A semaphore is an integer variable, as we talked about. Okay, that's not a segment. That's not even a page. Right? It's basically a small part of a page, but let's assume that you assign an entire page to this semaphore and you want to share it. Okay? So now there is one page that you want to share in two processes. How would you do that?
So you just have the segment point to the page, or the page table point to that?
Yes. So in this case, you would actually share it at the page table level. In the segment table, if you wanted to share the entire segment, you basically created the same entry in two different segment tables. You want to share a page, you do the same thing at the page table level. You assign it to a certain frame, let's say this is where you put your shared page. Okay. And then this is the, let's say, the heap page table. You just map that frame into this page table. So you put that entry here, and some other page table will also point there, and you are done. Okay? Is this clear? Yes? No? Okay. Yes.
How efficient is all the lookup for initializing?
Yes. So how efficient will actually? That's the last, the next slide, okay, as to what is the efficiency of this multi-level lookup. Okay. Yes.
Well, then, is the segment also stored in the TLB with the page?
Yeah. So again, we'll come to implementation efficiency is just coming. Okay, so just concept. So the last thing I want to say is about protection bits. Okay, there is each page or a segment will have a read or a write bit that tells you whether if only the read bit is set but not the write bit, then only you can only read from that segment. You try to write to the segment, it will give you a segmentation fault. Okay, code segments are typically read only. Okay, so compiler generates the code is not going to change at runtime. Okay, so you basically set the protection bit and you set it to read only. Okay. Data segments are read write. Yeah, because a heap segment, you are not only reading, but you are also writing. Anytime you assign a value to a variable, you will go and update the memory region. Okay. So typically when you share pages or share segments, you try to share them in the appropriate mode. If you are sharing a library, you share read-only segments. Yeah, because this is all code segment. If it's a shared memory region or a synchronization variable that you are sharing, then you share in read-write mode. Okay. Because the page table and the segment table also have protection bits, something I actually did not mention, but you also store protection bits which say, is this read-only or read-write, you can set the appropriate bit and ensure that the right things happen, okay, that you don't update the pthread library. Okay, that isn't allowed. Okay, code shouldn't go and update some other code, for example. Yes?
I just have a generic question as far as, are open files shared within the segments or shared within the page?
Are open files. Okay. So typically files are stored on disk, not in memory. Okay. So that's completely different. So you have this process that is mapped here and the file is actually stored on disk somewhere. Okay. So there's a file descriptor that allows you to read and write data from the file. Okay. There's a process called an mmap which allows you to memory map a file from a disk to memory. In that case, there's a mapping between the disk pages and the memory pages. But typically that's not done. When you open a file and you read to it, you are not reading and writing memory, you are reading and writing disk. Okay, so that's not part of the picture in this case. Okay, so now we'll talk about all these questions about where are these things stored and how efficient is this. Okay. So where would you store the segment? So now you have two data structures to store. You store a segment table and you store page tables. Okay. So for segment tables, again the choices are you have a register, you have cache, or you have main memory. These are our three choices. Okay. Same things that we had when we did the page table. Okay. Typically the segment table will have a small number of entries. Okay. The number of segments in a process is on an order of 10 or a dozen or less. So this table will have maybe 10 entries or less. Okay. So it is certainly feasible to store this in registers provided you have enough registers. Okay. So typically you can store the segment table in a register, set of base and limit registers. Okay. Now if you don't have the, since this has to work on all hardware, if you don't have enough registers, then you can go back to putting the segment table also in the TLB. The same thing we did for page tables. Okay. So either you have associative registers or you can do TLB. Okay. Page tables are the same thing. Okay. You typically have lots of pages. So it's not feasible to store page tables in registers. So typically you store page tables in main memory and you use a TLB to cache the most recently accessed entries from the page table for faster lookups. Okay. So the basic answer is, this could go in registers or TLB. Page tables always go to the TLB. That's main memory. Okay. The page table is actually stored in main memory, but parts of it are stored in the TLB for faster lookup. Here you can either store it in registers, or if you don't have enough registers, you can just do the same thing you did for the page table. Okay. Is this clear? Where do you store it? Okay, so then last question was cost. Yeah, how much is this going to cost and so on. So let's just first do quick pros and cons and then we'll actually do some cost analysis. Okay. So this allows us lots of flexibility. You are combining the compiler's view of the process with the OS's view of the process. Segments can be shared. Segments can grow dynamically. Or shrink, and you just add new entries to the page table or you delete entries from the page table and so on. Okay. This is somewhat slower, okay, for context switches. Should be clear why. Because during a context switch, you take all of these things and you put them back into the PCB and then you take some other processes, data structures, and you load them into the TLB and registers. The more data structures you have to store and copy back and forth, the slower the context switch. Okay. Now you have one segment table and you may have 10 page tables. Okay. So that's going to be slower than just having a single segment table or a single page table. Okay. Somewhat slower context switches, somewhat slower address translation. Okay. That should also be clear because you will see that there were multiple levels you have to go through to get your virtual to physical address translation done. Okay. So let's look at, so this let's ignore, we already discussed. What's the performance of the address translation? Okay. And how do you compare it with pure paging and so on? So let me just write this down here. Okay, so we had dynamic relocation, and there we had base and limit registers, if you remember. Okay, and then you have paging, then you have segmented paging. So if you remember the last time we did the analysis here, that if P is the probability of a TLB lookup hit, then you do a TLB lookup and then you go and access memory. And if you have a TLB miss, you do a TLB lookup, that's a miss, you go to the page table in memory, you get that entry, and then you go and access the memory. Okay? So this is the effective cost of accessing memory in the case of paging. Okay, if you remember, we actually, is this clear? I'm just putting this without much explanation because we are going to use this to derive an equation for segmented paging. Okay, so let's now look at this. So in the fast path, okay, assume that everything is a hit. What would be the cost of accessing memory in segmented paging? Okay, so first you have to access the segment table. Let's assume everything is TLB. Okay, so you will do one TLB lookup to get the segment table to page table entry. Okay, then you have to do a page table lookup. That's another TLB lookup. Okay, the page table then points you to a frame, then you go and access the offset within the frame. That's a memory lookup. Okay, this is the fast path. Okay. So what's the slow path in this case? Slow path is you do the segment table lookup. Okay, that may be a TLB miss. So you do a TLB lookup, that's a TLB miss. So then you go to the main memory and you access the segment table entry. Okay, that gives you the page table. Okay, now you have to do a page table lookup. So that's another TLB lookup. That could also be a miss. So you'll again go back to main memory to get the page table entry. And then you get a frame number, and that gives you the address that you look up. Okay. So the slow path is two TLB lookups plus three main memory accesses. Is this clear? And there's a middle one where you have a hit for the first TLB lookup but the miss for the second one. Okay. So that will be two TLBs plus two MA because basically the first one didn't result in main memory. So that's this. Okay, so there are three scenarios. The all fast path is two TLB lookups plus main memory. Okay. If you get a TLB miss for one of them, then that adds one memory access. And then if you get the TLB miss for both of them, that adds two memory accesses. So there are three cases. Here there were only two cases, either a TLB hit or a TLB miss. Since there are three things you are looking up here, you may get a hit, hit, and then you go to main memory, hit, miss, main memory, or miss, miss, main memory. So these are the cases. And you may have probabilities for each of them. Okay, so there's a probability P1 for this case, probability P2 for this case, and then 1 minus P1 minus P2 times this. Yeah, that's the equation. Okay, you don't have to remember or just remember, understand the concept. Okay, that there will be two TLB lookups and a main memory access, and either of these could be misses. If those are misses, that adds the main memory access to each of it. That's the way to think about it. So in the worst case, you will actually have to access one location in memory. You are doing three memory accesses. So this is really slow. It will slow down by a factor of two. The process will run one sort of factor of two more slowly than otherwise. Okay. But typically, because you have TLBs and most of the times it hits, you will be on the fast path, so you will not be significantly slowed down. But if you have cold TLBs and so on, you will have a very slow performance on your, for your application. Okay. Yes?
I remember you were saying there was like a high percentage or high probability within paging of actually getting the table.
Yes.
Is there a specific probability for hitting P1?
Is there a specific probability? So this again depends on two things. Okay, this is the reason that you can't actually put a number here. Typically it is 95% or 99% or higher. But there are two reasons that will actually determine the actual value of this. One is, what's the size of your TLB? The larger the size of the TLB, the greater the chances of a hit. Okay? If you have a small TLB, you can only store a few entries. So the process does a for loop and jumps somewhere and tries to access something else, then you are basically not going to have that TLB entry. Okay? So size of the TLB has a big impact on, so this is clear, right? If you have larger caches, your system is faster. Okay? P1 will be higher. The second thing is how well behaved your program is. The program is jumping all over the place. Okay? It doesn't show a lot of locality of reference. Then also you will have more misses. Okay? So suppose you have lots of recursion. For recursion is a good example, or lots of function calls. This causes the program to jump from one piece of code to another. Each of that piece of code accesses a different memory region. So that will increase TLB misses. Because every time you go somewhere else in the code, you access some other memory region. Okay? So locality of reference, in other words, how well behaved the program is in terms of locality, and the size of the TLB typically determine this value. But in most cases, for reasonable programs and reasonable architecture, very high, in the 90% or greater. Yeah, the exact value keeps changing. Any other questions here? Okay. Last question is fragmentation. Okay, how does the fragmentation of segmented paging compare with contiguous allocation and pure paging? Okay. Contiguous allocation has external fragmentation. Segmented paging does not have external fragmentation. This should be clear, because we paged the segments, we got rid of external fragmentation. Okay? But we do have internal fragmentation that we have not got rid of, because segments can be of arbitrary size. The last page of a segment will have some wasted space. Unless the segment is exactly a multiple of the page size, you will always have some wasted space. Okay? So what's the internal fragmentation in pure paging? On an average, we talked about this last time. How much wastage? Half a page per process. Okay. What's the internal fragmentation in segmented paging? Half a page, but not per process, per segment. Okay. So it's half a page per segment here, it's half a page per process here. Okay. That's the difference between fragmentation for these three schemes. Okay. One has external fragmentation, and these two don't, but they do have internal fragmentation. This is half page per process, half page per segment. Okay, that allows you to compare all of these schemes. Okay, so now here is just a quick recap of all of the techniques we have talked about. So the first one is relocation. Okay, this is contiguous allocation using base and limit registers. Simple, but not very flexible. Okay, then today we talked about segmentation, which is the compiler's or the user's view presented to the OS, where a process has multiple segments. Each segment has a particular semantic meaning associated with it. Segments can be of arbitrary size. If you store the segments contiguously, you have the same problem as relocation, which is you have external fragmentation. Okay? And you could use the exact same techniques we used to allocate memory, first fit, worst fit, best fit. But you cannot get rid of external fragmentation. Okay, you will have holes, and then you have to do compaction. Okay. So, and then we also talked about paging, which basically simplifies allocation by allocating memory in fixed size chunks or frames. When pages are assigned to frames, frames don't need to be contiguously stored, and that's good. It gets rid of external fragmentation. So to combine the benefits of paging and segmentation, we had this scheme which we call segmented paging that does a bit of both. You have a process has segments, and segments can be of arbitrary size, and then we decided we will page the segments. So pages of a segment can be assigned anywhere in memory, and external fragmentation goes away. Okay. Now all this comes at a cost. The cost is higher translation cost of going from virtual to physical addresses. Okay. Also, you have to make clever use of TLBs, otherwise you are going to see significant slowdown. Each memory access can cost you 3 memory accesses in the slow case. Okay. That's a factor of 3 slowdown, okay, meaning 200% slowdown for your memory addresses. Okay, but lots of flexibility, there's a cost associated with it. So this is where we are going to stop today. Okay. Next time we'll talk about demand paging, which is basically we'll introduce this notion of virtual memory. This is basically the problem of how can your process exceed the size of RAM. How can you start running the process without even loading the whole program in memory? All of these additional optimizations that build on these techniques. Okay. So let's stop here.